Tanya Jai Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. We are discussing today Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila Chapter 14. We will attempt to speak something while touching upon some of the unlimited highlights in this chapter. We'll chant the first verse of the chapter. Gaura Pasyanatma Vrindai Sri Lakshmi Vijayotsavam Shutva Gopi Rasolasam Krishna Premna Nanartasa Gaura Pasyanatma Vrindai Sri Lakshmi Vijayotsavam Shutva Gopi Rasolasam Krishna Premna Nanartasa Gaura Pasyanatma Vrindai Sri Lakshmi Vijayotsavam Shutva Gopi Rasolasam Krishna Premna Nanartasa. Vaishnavis. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Pasyan by seeing Atma Vrindai with his personal associates Sri Lakshmi of the Goddess of Fortune Vijaya Utsavam the Grand Festival Shutva by hearing Gopi of the gopis. Rasa Ullasam, the super excellence of the mellows. Hrishta, being very pleased. Premna, in great ecstatic love. Nanarta, danced. Sa, he, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Translation. accompanied by his personal devotees, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to the festival known as Lakshmi Vijayotsava. There, he discussed the super-excellent love of the gopis. Just by hearing about them, he became very pleased and danced in great ecstatic love for the Lord. Om Gyanachimadandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militang Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. This chapter begins with a presentation of persistence. Persistence in getting the mercy of the devotees and thereby getting the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In the depths of the chapter, you're going to hear about, as this first verse told you, Lakshmi Vijayotsava, the festival of the goddess of fortune, also known as Hara Panchami. Hara means to see. Panchami means the fifth day. The fifth day after Rath Yatra, something's going to happen. Someone wants to see. And you'll hear that Lakshmi Devi wants to see Lord Jagannath for a particular reason. And her reason for wanting to see Lord Jagannath is controversial and causes a stir. And that stir is the subject of a lengthy discussion among the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lakshmi Devi is baffled. Why does Lord Jagannath want to go to a certain place? What's there compared to what I have? You're going to hear Shivas Thakur stand up for Lakshmi Devi. And you're going to hear Subh Damodar stand up for where Lord Jagannath goes for 9 days. But we begin with getting recognition by Lord Chaitanya. Srila Prabhupada stresses this point in the culmination of Maharaj Pratyabharudra, finally getting not only the darshan of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but also he gets to massage the legs of Lord Chaitanya. The scene has been set by the mercy of the devotees. They who intervene on behalf of Maharaj Pratyabharudra so many times, only to be rebuffed by Lord Chaitanya. Remember, Lord Chaitanya said, I never meet kings even in dreams, what to speak of in the flesh. Lord Chaitanya made various concessions. Here, give a cloth to the king, my personal cloth, or send the king's son. But again and again, Lord Chaitanya refused to see Pratyabharudra Maharaj. Even though the devotees were presenting that Pratyabharudra is such a bhakta, he's a better bhakta than us. This is Vaishnava. And what was Lord Chaitanya's response? That may be so. He may be the best bhakta, but king, forget it. So this went on and on. But Pratyabharudra's efforts went on and on. What we can learn from this leela is that persistence pays off. And this is Srila Prabhupada's point. When Pratyabharudra Maharaj finally scores, so to speak. Prabhupada makes the point that just a little bit of effort to try to be recognized by Lord Chaitanya produces incalculable benefit. Instructed by the devotees, Pratyabharudra approached Lord Chaitanya when he's resting in the garden amidst Rath Yatra. And what does he do before approaching Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who's lying down? Pratyabharudra first gets the blessings of the devotees. He offers his obeisances to the devotees. It's not that he makes a beeline for Lord Chaitanya's feet. Aha! Now the Lord is resting in ecstasy. He's not conscious of what's going on. I'll go directly to his lotus feet. No! First, the mercy of the devotees. And then, after getting their blessings, he approaches Lord Chaitanya, begins to massage his legs while reciting the Gopi Gita from the 10th canto, Jayati Paid to Come. He goes on like that, but when he reaches that verse, Tabakatamritam Tapta Jivan, Lord Chaitanya arises in ecstasy. Oh, you have given me the greatest jewel. I have nothing to give you in return except to embrace you. This is the king. But Lord Chaitanya doesn't acknowledge that he has any external consciousness of who he's embracing. Hearing that verse, both Pratibhrudra Maharaj and Lord Chaitanya embrace in ecstasy. And Lord Chaitanya says again and again, Burida, 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 you are the most munificent. You are the most munificent for reciting this verse. This is the power of Srimad Bhagavatam. Sometimes we forget why Srila Prabhupada was so insistent to distribute Srimad Bhagavatam. Remember that Sanatana Goswami in Brihad Bhagavatamrita says that every syllable in Krishna Lila Stava, in every syllable, there's saturation of Krishna Prema. So Lord Chaitanya, as the prime hearer of Bhagavatam, is demonstrating to us the unlimited potency of the Bhagavatam just by hearing a verse, Tavakatamritam Taptajivanam. My dear Lord, the nectar of your activities drives away all the sinful reactions and soothes the hearts of all those suffering in the material world. Your words about you, bring about all auspiciousness. Therefore, those who are dedicated to distributing your glories, they are the most munificent welfare workers. In this instant, Lord Chaitanya is clarifying the practical benefits of distributing Krishna Katha. Sometimes we hear from even our own devotees. We're such a small number, and all we have is Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, mainly, and we have the Hare Krishna mantra. Is that really going to change the world? But you see Lord Chaitanya demonstrating, as a supreme bhakta, he is demonstrating what is the actual only solution for benefiting the world and creating an auspicious atmosphere. So, Pratibhrudra and Lord Chaitanya, they're lost in ecstasy. What happened? Embracing a king? Showing ecstatic symptoms of Krishna praying with a king? What happened? Pratibhrudra Maharaj has been recognized by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And therefore, Chaitanya Charitamrita explains that due to past service to Mahaprabhu, to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, done by Pratibhrudra Maharaj, the mercy of Lord Chaitanya unfolded like automatically in sequence, even without the Lord having to personally monitor the situation, so to speak. The backlog of Pratibhrudra Maharaj's service caught up to him, so to speak. Therefore, Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami exclaims, Kripa Mahabala. Where did this great mercy come from? Kaviraj Goswami is remarking about the strength of that mercy. Kripa Mahabala. It's so strong. What's going on? Besides getting the mercy of the devotees, Pratibhrudra Maharaj also swept the ground with a broom in front of Lord Jagannath's Rathayatra cart. Now, we may take it in an external way. Well, the king officially does those kind of things, and it was probably a prestigious act, everyone watching him. And in this way, the king could demonstrate his piety and his religiosity. If it was a democracy, you'd say an easy way to get more votes in the next election. In any case, you'd think the king is profiling. What's the big deal? But his internal situation is what attracted the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. No doubt the king 100% felt himself to be the menial servant of the devotees. Therefore, amidst their ecstasy when they're embracing and dancing, just by hearing a verse, Lord Chaitanya is saying, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? I have nothing by which I can repay you. Remember Krishna telling that to the gopis, that I can't repay you for your service even in the lifetime of Lord Brahma. Similarly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying that to Prataparudra for his reciting of the Gopi Gita. And what is Prataparudra's response? It is exemplary for all of us. He said, who am I? Because Lord Chaitanya wants to know, who are you? You've given me so much, I can't repay you. Who am I? I am your most obedient servant, and I aspire, my ambition is to be the servant of your servant. This is a lesson in bhakti that we can never forget. And as we said, Srila Prabhupada takes advantage of this dramatic moment to say, everyone should be very persistent in trying for the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Persistence doesn't mean, well, I did something, I did some sacrifice 40 years ago. Do you remember those days? It's like Rameshwar Prabhu was reminding me, you're not a guest here. This is your home temple. You did your most intense service to Prabhupada here in those years. In any case, persistence means whatever little we did in the past. What about the present and what about the future? Persistence means you don't give up. You keep trying. And Prataparudra Maharaj demonstrated that. So Srila Prabhupada makes the point that every devotee, in order to go back to Godhead, needs to be recognized by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is the portal to the spiritual world for this age. Approach Krishna through Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is so merciful, just a little service he never forgets. And persistence pays off more than what we can ever calculate or imagine. This is the inner dynamic of the Sankirtan movement. Persistence and incalculable mercy. Kripa Mahabala. We actually don't know the full extent of what's going on. Upon seeing Prataparudra get the mercy, what is the reaction of the devotees, Lord Chaitanya's associates? Again, another lesson in bhakti for us to learn. Kaviraj Goswami describes their response was open-minded and blissful. I meditate on these words quite often. The material tendency is when you hear about someone's glories, someone's accomplishments in bhakti, due to remnants of material contamination and envy and jealousy, which are ruling factors in the material world, a devotee may feel twinges of, what's the big deal? he or she's not so great. There's probably some deviation somewhere mixed in. Something that's not 100% strictly Prabhupada. I know. That tendency can be there. You can feel your consciousness just pinch down and become narrow. Kind of Scrooge-like. It's not a very nice feeling. But open and blissful That's the proper response. Your consciousness opens up. And you're happy for that person's service. As Prabhupada explained, envy is actually indirect appreciation. You don't envy someone who's worse off than you. You only envy someone who's done something better. So instead of negatively recognizing you're better, but we know you're worse, actually, and why not be positively appreciative that, oh, you have done so nicely. I wish I one day could do such nice service. So this is what the associates of Lord Chaitanya are demonstrating. Sometimes Lord Chaitanya would test them, like when he glorified Haridas Thakur, Sanatan Goswami, in front of his associates, and then Lord Chaitanya would watch. What's your reaction? I'm watching. He would glorify devotees like he had five mouths. Now we may say, oh, yeah, if I were in that situation, it'd be no problem. I'd be happy for those devotees in Chaitanya Leela. But as for those devotees around here, that's different. We know who they are. We know their faults. Chaitanya Leela is so instructive for us. And we shouldn't just push these Leelas into the far beyond the stratosphere, which they are in one sense. But at the same time, we can learn so much. After Pratyabharuja Maharaj gets the mercy and the blessings of all the devotees, what time is it next? Prasad. But not simply prasad, but Kaviraj Goswami describes prasad uttama. The topmost prasad. Lord Chaitanya personally sees to the distribution of prasad and makes sure that everyone, Chaitanya Charitamrita says, is filled up to their necks. Now, the point is made that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu derives satisfaction by seeing so many varieties of food offered to Lord Jagannath and seeing the devotees distributing it and honoring it. Let's meditate on that for a few moments, because generally when it's time for prasad, particularly prasad uttama, we're thinking, this is great for me. It's true, it is great for you. But this consciousness that Lord Chaitanya is demonstrating, taking pleasure by seeing that the deity has received so many varieties of foodstuffs, this is what we want to aspire for. Taking pleasure in seeing the prasad distributed to others and seeing the others relish the prasad. To understand this attitude, we need to reflect on what actually real love is. We say it so many times, water the tree at the root and all the branches blossom. Prasad offering, prasad distribution, indeed, is that watering of the tree at the root in action. How it is that one can be satisfied just by seeing the deity has been offered so many varieties. The devotees are distributing and relishing the remnants of food offered to the Lord. How can that satisfy me? Satisfying me means direct. But as we mature in bhakti, we more and more realize how indeed real love means to water the tree at the root and then effectively will be satisfied. In the beginning, we say it, and that's good. There's nothing wrong with repeating the parampara. I remember at a Rath Yatra in San Francisco, Golden Gate Park, in 1975. All the BBT people were put on a bus to get there for the Rath Yatra and bring us back to get back to work. So I remember Prabhupada on the stage giving his lecture, and he made the point he made so many times. He said, I've said it so many times, water the tree at the root, all the branches blossom. And then suddenly I finally got it. Hearing again and again is not a fault. Having crucial information repeated is not a fault. In Mumbai, in 1977, devotees had just heard Srila Prabhupada give his umpteenth example of how we're not the body. And so a devotee asked Prabhupada, how do you always come up with these examples, different angles? But it's all about dehi no svinyata dehi. How do you come up with all these different ways of presenting the same point? And Prabhupada replied, I'm able to do that because I'm always thinking about it. So, wait a minute. He's always thinking about dehi no svinyata dehi. Thinking about Krishna's mission, how to spread Krishna's mission, is deep absorption in the depths of rasa. This is a confidential point. You'll see a little bit of that come out in this chapter. After prasad, it's time for the chariots to start moving again. But there's a problem. No one can get the chariot to move. The godas, the usual Rathayatra workers who pull the carts, they can't get Jagannath's cart to move. King Pratavarudra is there. No doubt by this time he's put back on his kingly garments. When he approached Lord Chaitanya in the garden to massage his legs, he was dressed as ordinary person. But now it's time for Rathayatra to start again, so the king is taking charge. No one can pull Lord Jagannath's cart, no matter how hard the official cart pullers work. The cart doesn't budge. No problem. King Pratavarudra arranged that a team of big wrestlers. It's a kingly administrative decision. Big wrestlers, they'll pull the cart easily. No, the wrestlers couldn't make the cart budge. Next executive decision. Elephants will do the task. Elephants were hitched to the ropes of the cart. And the elephant trainers were goading the elephants. Come on, come on, pull, pull, pull. The elephants were even screaming in pain. But the cart wouldn't budge. Lord Chaitanya is watching all this. And then he goes up to the back of Jagannath's cart, puts his head to the back of the cart, and the cart starts moving. Everyone's watching in astonishment. In fact, the cart gets going, and it's moving under its own power. Persons are holding the ropes. They're not doing anything. The cart's still moving. What would you do in watching that? The whole multitude began to shout, Jai Gaura Chandra! Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya!
Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya!
Danya, danya!
Danya, danya!
That means wonderful, wonderful. More quickly than anyone could ever understand, the cart arrives at the Gundicha Mandir. Once the cart is at the Gundicha Mandir, that means days, 9 days of kirtan. 3 times a day, Lord Chaitanya would bring his associates to the courtyard of the Gundicha Mandir, Sundarachal also, and 3 times a day, morning, noon, and evening, they would be chanting and dancing. In this way, Lord Chaitanya is demonstrating that the chanting and dancing is nothing ordinary. It's a prime part of the process for going back to Godhead. In other words, there's no question of dancing simply when we feel like it. The more we chant, the more we dance, the more we make spiritual advancement. So Mahaprabhu and his associates are personally demonstrating that. During the evenings, Lord Chaitanya would take rest in the gardens surrounding the Gundicha Mandir, particularly a large garden known as Jagannath Ballabh. He would stay there. And there would be enacted the Vrindavan pastimes. Now, this is very mysterious. What exactly are these Vrindavan pastimes? It's a confidential point, but since it's mentioned in Prabhupada's purports, and we have older devotees here, we'll briefly discuss it. Lord Chaitanya was not presenting himself as Krishna, the enjoyer of the Vrindavan rasas. That's a big mistake to think of him in that way. In the Vrindavan pastimes, in the gardens, Lord Chaitanya was seeing himself as the maidservant of Srimati Radharani. And as a maidservant of Srimati Radharani, he took pleasure in seeing, like Nikunjayuno Ratikedik Siddhaya, he took pleasure in seeing the meetings between Radha and Krishna. The fifth day comes. It's time for the Lakshmi Vijayotsava, the festival of Hera Panchami. Lakshmi Devi wants to see. Where is Lord Jagannath? In other words, Rath Yatra is simply an excuse for Lord Jagannath to go to Vrindavan. You can see the perverted reflection in the material world. Husband wants to do something. He kind of, so to speak, gives the wife the flick. You know, I got some business to attend to. And he takes off. It worked for a while. But in this transcendental lila, which has nothing to do with the material energy, not in the slightest, by the time day five comes around, Lakshmi Devi is wondering, where is he? Not only where is he, but why did he go? The internal question is, what is there in Vrindavan that my Lord and Master has left me for? What's there? You see, from the viewpoint of Lakshmi Devi and her associates, Jagannath Puri is Dwarka. Dwarka has unlimited opulence. Lakshmi Devi has her throne, her jewels. From her viewpoint, what is there in Vrindavan? Why would the Lord want to go there? Why would he want to go to Gundicha, which for Jagannath is Vrindavan? Why did he give me that excuse that he wanted to ride in the Rath Yatra? He's attracted to Vrindavan, but we all know, what is there? Just some peacock feathers, some grass, the flower garden of Srimati Radharani, big deal. Compared to my opulence, my jewels, my throne, my majesty, there's nothing in Vrindavan. This version of Lakshmi Devi becomes the source of a great theological discussion. But not theology in terms of just some abstract metaphysical principle, but theology in terms of experiencing rasa, taste, and the difference in the flavors between Vaikuntha and Goloka Vrindavan. Watching Lakshmi Devi and her associates take to task the servitors of Lord Jagannath, the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, are astonished. They're restraining themselves from showing any external transcendental amusement, because Lakshmi Devi is serious business. She takes her opulences very seriously. Lord Chaitanya starts the discussion in a very innocent way. Yes, Soup Demeter. Have you ever seen any egotism like this before, as shown by the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi Devi, angry and taking and exacting retribution, arresting the followers of Lord Jagannath, his servitors, making them fall at her feet, begging for mercy? Have you ever seen anything like this? What's Srup Damodar's reply? Not even in Dwarka with such a bomber. She's the gold standard for getting upset and being egotistical. In a way, of course, that 100% gives Krishna pleasure. Nevertheless, that's her thing. And Srup Damodar, in his discussions with Lord Caitanya, they said, all right, we haven't seen this in Dwarka with Satyabhama. We haven't even seen it in Vrindavan with the gopis. That set Lord Caitanya off. You haven't seen it in Dwarka. You haven't seen it in Vrindavan. This egotism shown by Lakshmi Devi is so special. Oh, by the way, can you start speaking about Vrindavan? It's like Srup Damodar presented an assortment, knowing that Lord Caitanya would, like a honeybee, go for hearing about Vrindavan Rasa. So then Srup Damodar begins a long presentation about egotism in Vrindavan, how it gives Krishna so much pleasure to have varieties of gopis with varieties of attitudes. Some are dhira. They're very reserved and sober. Others are adhira. Very restless. They can, so to speak, get an attitude real quick. And others are both dhira-dhira. Both restless and sober. Different types of heroines. So many different flavors in loving affairs with Krishna. But all are faultless. This is the spiritual world. Krishna relishes different types of rebellious spirits amongst his consorts, different types of anger that they have. Some are very submissive externally and they keep their anger locked up within. Others, they just show their anger. All these varieties give pleasure to Krishna. None of them have any fault. This shows you, indeed, the real meaning of the common expression, variety is the mother of enjoyment. Krishna has unlimited varieties. How can we compete? Hearing about these varieties of attitudes in the varieties of Krishna's girlfriends, Srivas Thakur, so to speak, has had enough. Wait a minute. Because Srup Damodar has gone on and on. And you'll find so many verses quoted from Ujjwala Nilomani, even most confidential scripture, Govinda Lilamrita. Finally, Srivas Thakur. He can't take it anymore. Let me tell you about the opulences of the goddess of fortune in Vaikuntha. Come on, Prabhus, let's focus. In other words, don't let Srup Damodar just carry you away. Let's get down to reality again here. The opulences of Vaikuntha, the goddess of fortune, are unlimited. Vrindavan is nothing. What is there in Vrindavan? Just minerals, some gunja berries, peacock feathers. Whereas what my goddess of fortune has is incomparable. Lord Caitanya immediately clarified the situation. Srivas Thakur, you're feeling... We'd say, you're feeling your oats. In other words, Narada Swabhava. You're feeling your constitutional position as Narada Muni. Therefore, you're speaking about the goddess of fortune in this way. How can you say that to Srup Damodar? What is Srup Damodar? He's a Shuddha Brajabasi. He's a pure resident of Vrindavan. He's not attracted to the Aishvarya of Vaikuntha. Why are you speaking like this? Then, taking the cue, Srup Damodar begins to speak. If you want to talk about opulence, actually, let's look at the situation. Let's analyze. The opulence of Vrindavan is like an unlimited ocean. The opulence of Dwarka, Vaikuntha, is just like a drop. And here's why. And then he explained exactly what the Brahma Sanhita explains. In Vrindavan, the land is Chintamani, touchstone. It can fulfill all your desires. But what do the residents of Vrindavan do with that Chintamani stone? They wear it, or the gopis wear it around their ankles as decorations. They don't want anything other than giving pleasure to Krishna. In Vrindavan, there's a kalpavriksha, the wish-fulfilling trees. The trees will give you anything. How do the residents of Vrindavan deal with those kalpavrikshas? They simply take fruits and flowers for Krishna's pleasure. Even though the trees can give anything. The cows, kamadhenus, they can grant anything. What do the residents of Vrindavan do with them? They just take milk. In other words, there's something else going on in Vrindavan that is the supreme opulence, and that is the pure love of Krishna, so much so that no one even thinks Krishna is God. They just know he's the unlimitedly attractive core of all our hearts. Then Srup Damodar describes the water in Vrindavan is nectar. The way the residents of Vrindavan walk is a dance. The way they talk is a song. He makes such a powerful presentation of the opulences of Vrindavan, which are actually all pure love, that Srivas Thakur becomes overwhelmed. And Srivas Thakur, overwhelmed by Srup Damodar's presentation, begins to dance, making noises and slapping his armpits. And that action of Srivas Thakur sets off a huge kirtan. The kirtan goes on and on and on. All this is just by discussing about Krishna. It sets off such a huge kirtan. The kirtan goes on and on. The devotees are getting fatigued. Lord Chaitanya won't stop chanting and dancing. Suddenly, in the midst of this marathon kirtan, Nityananda Prabhu sees Lord Chaitanya in the form of Srimati Radharani. And from a distance, Nityananda offers his obeisances. In other words, this is something very confidential that even Nityananda, who's Balaram, is very careful, very cautious. This is a very intimate scene. I offer my obeisances from a distance. So what to speak of us? The kirtan goes on and on, and finally, Nityananda tells Lord Chaitanya, all the devotees are totally exhausted. So they end the kirtan. But that discussion between among the associates of Lord Chaitanya is unforgettable. And that's the core of this chapter. How to get to that point where we can relish such a discussion, or to speak of realize such a discussion, that requires recognition by Lord Chaitanya. Let us resolve that each of us in our own way, according to our capacity and opportunities, according to our ashram, let's not give up on being persistent. You got to keep knocking on the door. Do something. try something. Make ourselves available in some kind of way. Because that is the way how to go back to Godhead. Through recognition by Lord Chaitanya. And then that recognition by Lord Chaitanya sets off a chain reaction of mercy. We cannot calculate how it's happening. This is the point Chaitanya Charitamrita is making. Lord Chaitanya's mercy acted like as if on automatic pilot, even though he was not directly recognizing Pratyaparudra. The service that Pratyaparudra did accumulated, and at the right time, it triggered Lord Chaitanya's mercy, because after all, even though evidently Lord Chaitanya was not externally conscious of what was going on, he is so extremely merciful that his mercy acts automatically. This is what we want. We can pray to Lord Jagannath that we never think, there's nothing I can do. I have no options. It's not possible for me to do anything to be persistent in getting Lord Chaitanya's mercy. My circumstances are such, it's impossible. My age, my health, my wealth, my poverty, this, that, the other. On and on it can go. But persistence means just that. You keep trying. Because you know, this is the only way that Krishna will pay attention to me, if Lord Chaitanya pays attention to me first. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Mm-hmm. Should we take any questions or should we end it here? All right, if there are a few questions.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. I was just wondering on the point of watering the root of the tree and every branch is nourished. So why, if we offer food to Krishna, why do we also have to eat? Shouldn't we also be nourished if we offer food to Krishna?
Why if we... The ideal way of taking prasad is honoring prasad. Krishna has tasted this. Lord Chaitanya demonstrates that. Krishna has tasted this, and therefore, I'm honoring the fact that Krishna has tasted it. Also, for the sake of your service, you need to nourish your body. But we don't want to scare away the young devotees. Take prasad to your full satisfaction. Gradually, these realizations will come to you. That it's not so much the quantity, it is the quality of your attitude. As Lord Chaitanya demonstrates in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna has tasted this. Anything else?
Maharaj, getting to back to the point about how devotees should be happy and non-envious to see the other devotees' qualities. Sometimes people criticize religion that there's wars, you know, the Protestants fighting Catholics, Sunnis fighting Shiites, and even if you just look Hare Krishna up on the internet, you're going to find people spreading rumors and sometimes very disgruntled and angry people in different factions arguing with each other. And I guess my question is twofold. One thing is, there's something about Krishna consciousness or devotional service to his personal God that lends itself to these kind of quarrels. And second, how should we respond to them, or is there anything we can do to make it go away?
It's nothing about Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God. It's nothing about bhakti. It's all about a particular phase in the universe known as Kali Yuga. Just like you're aware of the atmosphere today. It's supposed to be a hot day today. And if it ever rains in California, you're aware of that. So similarly in Kali Yuga, you're aware of a prime characteristic of the day and age. Difficulty in social relationships, whether between husband and wife, amongst friends, family, society. It's part of the climate. Just like environmental scientists are warning, climate change, what are we going to do? They're trying to make people aware that there's certain environmental influences that are going to be unavoidable. And it's like that with Kali Yuga. Dissension at the drop of a hat happens so quickly. We have to always be mindful of that. And of course, unless we understand what real religion is, we may get a little bewildered by seeing these sectarian squabbles that you've mentioned. It's really hard to deal with that when outsiders see, as you mentioned, the internet quarrels and campaigns waged by persons who have an axe to grind or they feel they have a legitimate complaint. The best thing we can do is to set, as individuals, set an example, an attractive example. The internet's going to go on and on and on. The best strategy to respond to that is that we as individuals who are dedicated to doing something in persistence for Lord Caitanya's mercy, we demonstrate the great value of working together in spite of personal differences in individuality, working together to advance Prabhupada's mission. Dissension will be there. Disgruntlement will be there. Misunderstandings will be there. But let's be practical. Let's recognize that this is Kali Yuga and it will have a certain effect. Let's just make sure that we stay under the umbrella as the rain of Kali Yuga is coming down. Anything else? Vijay Prabhu.
When people say that on Sankirtan, that, you know, this, you religious people, you're just, you know, so much war. And but Stalin was an atheist, and he probably caused more deaths than anybody else on the planet.
Yes, I've seen the statistical calculation done by a brilliant Jewish philosopher-scientist, Berlinsky. He actually calculated, in the 20th century, the damage caused by secularists far exceeds any effects in terms of human lives done by those operating under the banner of religion. You take into account Stalin, Hitler, the one in Cambodia... Far exceed. He did a statistical analysis. Yes.
Yeah, the worst was China.
Yes. Of course, sometimes the atheists try to strike back and say, well, actually, Hitler was Catholic and was coddled by the Catholic Church. That's stretching it a bit. So, yes, you can do a statistical analysis. If I had time, which I don't, I'd explain to you the latest counterattack by the secularists, that nations in the world, and even states in the USA, which have the most religion, are actually the most backwards in terms of all the recognized features of a progressive human society. A professor in California at one university here, who's getting world, he's getting nationwide attention. Look at Scandinavia, atheists, but look how progressive and caring their society is. I've been working on that one the past few days. Anyway, you brought the point up, so I'm letting you know this is the new wave right now. Look at the most religious parts of the USA. Bama, Mississippi, West Virginia, Kentucky. Would you want to live there? Whereas the secular-leaning states, like California, how heavenly. There's always going to be this battle, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Dvalbhuta Sarga Lokesmin Daivasarevacha. They say up, we say down. They say down, we say up. That's the way it's going to be. Anything else?
Maharaj, thank you very much for the wonderful class. How you explained that how we should be happy about others getting appreciation and love each other. But the question that I have is, sometimes because we are naturally envious, the tendency to let me prove myself through my service, that tendency seems to be more powerful than loving and because it takes a long time, that route. So if we see that even Jai Vijay chose the option of being envious of Krishna and go back in 3 lifetimes than taking 7 lifetimes following the other way in the loving sense. So why is it a wrong idea that, because sometimes it feels like envy is more powerful force than love because it feels so natural, and when it comes out through service, it seems like you accomplish more in your service than the other way.
Yes, it's true. In the beginning, it can be like that. I want to be number one. And Prabhupada took advantage of that spirit, that competitive, individualistic spirit. Yes? He dovetailed it for Krishna's purposes. It's true. But the proper outcome of all that individualism and individual spirit and competition, the outcome of that should be purification. In which one becomes more Krishna conscious and realizes that there's a way to endeavor mightily while at the same time recognizing others, uplifting others. Just like taking prasad. In the beginning, we don't want to discourage devotees. Am I eating for Krishna's pleasure? I don't think so. I guess I better overlook this pizza. Similarly, in the beginning, devotees have various motivations. I want to excel. I want to show I can do something for Krishna. It's all right. But by reading Prabhupada's books and associating with advanced devotees, your consciousness becomes more expansive, and you see how to be dynamic while at the same time cooperative, which in the beginning seems an impossible thing to learn. But bhakti has room for all that, individual endeavor as well as cooperation. And this is what is so difficult to understand about ISKCON. How has it gone on? How can it continue to go on when you have all these powerful individuals who get more powerful individualistic as they get older, and at the same time, things hold together? How's this going to happen? But this is the miracle of trying to stick to Prabhupada's instructions, no matter the circumstances. Archita Prabhu.
Thank you, Maharaj, for your wonderful presentation. I know you asked me, what am I going to say on this chapter? There's so much there, but obviously you really, really studied hard. Thank you, Maharaj. Just on this last point, from experience, I would just like to suggest that you have to really make a conscious effort how to associate with the devotees. That's the secret. You can't just leave it up to chance, in other words. You know, just like we make plans when we go out, you plan in advance, the books, the van, where you're going, all that. Similarly, you have to plan how to properly deal with the devotees at home. And Prabhupada said that once, that young lady who asked, Prabhupada, you said that we should be like, you know, lions on the chase. And Prabhupada said, yes, be a lion on the chase, but don't chase the devotees when you come home. Be a lamb at home. And this is kind of hard to understand. We have devotees here in this community who are very, very fired up about going out and preaching, and then they bring the fire back in and they fire on the devotees. But you can't do that. Be a lamb at home. You really have to try consciously to be lambs at home. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.